Hello and welcome to Just a Guy and His Journey Back to God. So today we're in the last chapter of Galatians, chapter 6. And just before we go there, let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, we're grateful for today. We're grateful for your word. We're grateful for the fact that the creator of all, that he wants to talk to us, guide us, inform us, and help us to understand who he is. So Lord, I come before you just seeking out you, your will, and your insights. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would guide us as we read, that you would open our hearts and our minds, that it would be you who talks to us, nothing from me, everything from you, that it would be you that we hear. Please guide us as we read, in Jesus' name, amen. So chapter 6 is a fairly short chapter. It's kind of a culmination, and it's a little bit different than how Paul seems to end some of his other works or his other epistles. And so he, at the end, and starting in verse 11, he actually starts doing the writing. Prior to this, had been doing basically dictating it to a scribe, and that scribe then was doing the writing. And then in verse 11, Paul takes it over, and he starts to do the writing. So, and when we look at the beginning of chapter 6, it's also, it's just pretty much a culmination. It's a fulfillment. It's included with, you had parts of chapter 5, which was, you know, life by the Spirit, be free, live in the Spirit, not in the flesh, don't live in debauchery and whatnot, but live in, for, you know, through the Spirit, enjoy peace, forbearance, and kindness, which has really been the message throughout Galatians. It's that we're saved through grace. We're saved through Jesus' work on the cross. We're not saved through the law or anything else associated with the human flesh and man's ability. Everything is through God's grace and mercies. Nothing is really fulfilled or satisfied or completed through anything you and I do. We can't earn it. We can't be good enough. We can't be, you know, bad enough to lose it. It's one of those things that Jesus's work on the cross has saved us once and for all. So with that thought, let's go ahead and jump on into chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may be also tempted. So I look at this, and I'm just thinking of some of these examples, and I'm impressed with the word gently. Because so often I've seen people catch others, and they're harsh, they're mean. And here Paul's telling us to be gentle and to have some caution, because that sin may look good and it may tempt us. You know, we may think we're pretty righteous and we're pretty good at, with where we're at and our standing with God. But we can be tempted, so be cautious, because we're no better than that person who sinned. Verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ, which is love your neighbor as yourself. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. And let's be real, are we? No, we're flawed and sinful men and women. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. And I know I do this. I'm like, oh, you know, thank goodness I'm not as bad as that guy. But then it also works in, man, I am not as godly. I'm not as saint like Billy Graham or Mother Teresa. It works both ways. And the reality is we shouldn't even be comparing and saying, oh, I'm good or I'm this or that. It's really, thank you, Jesus, for making me even able to stand in God's presence. Verse 3. Verse 6, nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Now, verse 11. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. So, you know, it's interesting. I started looking up information about Christians in Israel, even today. And there's some thoughts that, and I don't know all this for a fact, but if you're a Christian in your preaching, if you're an evangelical Christian in Israel, that's not considered a good thing. If you're what's called a Messianic Jew, which is a Jew who believes in Christ because Christ is the Messiah, that's also not considered a good thing. In fact, you're not supposed to go around preaching and even potentially owning land in Israel today. So when I read this, those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid them being persecuted. Well, that opened up my eyes a little bit because these guys were being persecuted for being Christians. The Jews, the Jewish religion, or the leaders, were persecuting people for preaching the gospel, for being and speaking about the cross and Jesus Christ. So, verse 13, not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision. So, hey, I got these guys circumcised, so, you know, we're all following the law. I'm good. I'm great. Don't persecute me. Verse 14, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Only counts what Jesus does to us in our hearts. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. So Paul wraps up and doesn't do some of the normal stuff that he tends to do, which is, you know, give my love to this person, give my greetings to these folks. Instead, he really just comes back and says, look, guys, the people who are telling you to live according to the law and take these steps, they're doing it just so that they don't get persecuted and for their own benefit. Because at the end of the day, we live under grace, not under the law. That has been the entire message of Galatians. We can't do anything to improve our standing with God. I can't stop sinning enough to be worthy. There's just no way. It's only through Jesus Christ's grace that we can actually be worthy. If we think there's something we can do, then we're mistaken. And that's what the whole message of Galatians has been. So with that, let's go back to God in prayer. Holy Father, thank you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Because I know just after the way I woke up this morning and started speaking and grumbling and being negative, I know I can't do it on my own. I can never be good enough to warrant your favor. So I thank you for Jesus Christ, for the mercy and the grace that's bestowed on me through him. And Lord, I just pray that today your Holy Spirit would live through me, empower me, speak through me. May this time be a time in which you're honored and glorified. May this day be a day in which I live, and I live a life today that's worthy of you. But I know I can only do that with your Holy, with you, Holy Spirit, guiding me and empowering me. So I pray for your help, pray for your strength, your insights, your wisdom. I pray for your power to live a life that's worthy, so I can love my neighbor as myself and you, Lord God, with my whole being. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, so just as a quick, we're now at the end of Galatians. I think we're going to go to start in on Romans. And it was interesting in church. A visiting pastor just kept hammering, read Romans, read Romans, read Romans. So we're going to read Romans and go from there. So tomorrow we'll be in Romans, and we'll do the introduction. And then on, that'll be Wednesday. So on Thursday, we'll start chapter one. Hey, thanks for joining me at Just a Guy and His Journey Back to God. I know you're going to have a great day.